Good morning.
It's a great blessing to see you. Thank you for being here. One of the things that Billy and I try to do, if we speak on an occasion like this, we try to connect in some way a sermon topic with the making music theme, for example. And this year, 40 was a very special number, so I thought that would be a good sermon topic. I thought I would get up and introduce that in a special way, saying that it was about my age. And then I remembered a few years ago, Jan and I were working on a shed roof, and I was trying to put some of this roll roofing, pretty heavy stuff, and I couldn't do it by myself. So I got Jan up on the roof with me, and you can see us up there rolling out this stuff. And one of our neighbors drove by, and he said, "Jan, what are you doing up there?" And I said, "It's my fault. I just had to have somebody to hold this." He said, "Jan, you come down, and I'll help." And so he stayed. He helped me finish the whole thing. It took us about 4 hours. But in the meantime, he was huffing and puffing, and he was just a tad overweight. And he played baseball on the team at Fried Hardeman that I coached in 1971. And I said, "David, how old are you?" He told me his age. And I thought, great day, I've got to get down off of this roof. Students that I taught in college, some of them might be 67 years old at this point. I'm just barely older than the students I started teaching. And so I started thinking about people this weekend. Maybe some of you in this audience, I know at least one, said something about me looking a lot like I used to look. And so I said to this one that was at our house, "Let me show you a picture." And it was a picture of me when I was a student at Fried Hardeman. There's just a slight bit of difference. I mean, you could probably, if you knew me back then and you know me now, you could tell. But I said all that to say this, 40 is not my age. So I am thankful, though, for 40 years of making music. That means, for me, at least 40 years of knowing students, many of whom are the alumni that came back to sing and to be a part of the program. And so grateful. Many of those are parents in this room whose young people have come to Fried Hardeman, maybe even some who have grandchildren here at Fried Hardeman. But thank you for being a part of our audience today. And 40 is a very special number in the Bible. And if you are thinking about what this number means, I started looking at different writers, commentators, who wrote about the meaning of the number 40 in the Bible. And almost all of them said something like this. The number 40 is used by God to represent a period of testing and or judgment, representing the length of time necessary to accomplish some major part of God's plan in his dealings with various portions of mankind. And when you start looking at the number 40 in the Bible, you're going to see that. It's connected with periods of testing and judgment very often. The number 40, I read one source that said 146 times it's mentioned. I read another source that said it's 149 times. I did not take the time to count, but it's mentioned a lot. So the number 40 was important to God in a number of ways. But this morning, as I think about 40 representing 40 great years of making music, I'm thinking more importantly, important to us, is 40 does represent a period of testing and a period of judgment. I was thinking about students in this room who will graduate in less than 40 days. I think maybe 35 days until graduation day. When we start thinking about that, they are going to go through 35 days of testing and judgments about grades and so on. And they've got a time coming up. And we think about those periods of time as very, very significant. And they are. But there are people sitting in this room today who are going through periods of time far greater than 40. Some of you may have less than 40 days involved in the period of testing that you are in your life now. But God is giving us a picture of what we must live with and what we must live through. I want to share some things with you from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 that talks about this concept. Peter said, so that the testing of the genuineness of your faith, and then he says, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We go through periods of testing. These 40 days over and over again in the Bible, we see people going through periods of testing, and God's purpose, God's intent, God's will is done in those 40 days of testing, and we can see that a lot. When you remember the passage that was read a while ago in our hearing from Acts chapter 1, verse 3, let me remind you again. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. There was a lot of suffering that Jesus went through. And now he is appearing after his resurrection, after his victory, for 40 days to convince and show and teach his people that he really was God's Son, that he really did leave heaven and really did come to this earth and suffer and die for you. Though, as we heard a few moments ago, he were rich, he became poor for you and me. And now for 40 days, he's going to be appearing to hundreds of people, showing himself alive, telling people of the greatness of the kingdom of God and being a part of that body. But just like he suffered many things, you and I will suffer many things. And so for 40 days, would that be a period of testing for the Lord? Well, think about Thomas. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in the nail holes. Can you imagine feeling that way after going through that, after spending those days and nights in tears and work and study with Thomas? Now, Thomas says, I'm not about to believe that he's resurrected from the dead until I see it for myself. There were periods of testing in that way for Jesus. But can you imagine, those of you that are about to graduate, now you still have just this brief amount of time left compared to the 4 years that you were here. Can you think about the anxiety of getting to that point of walking across the stage and how exciting that's going to be? Think about Jesus returning to be with his Father in heaven, having to wait 40 more days. I can't imagine at all what that was like, but he went through 40 days of that. Here in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, he talks first of all about the true wealth. Boy, this is a hard one for us. As we read the Bible, it's very clear this is God's intent for every one of us to go through periods of trial that we may be tested. And when we come out on the other end, we're going to be like gold that is more pure, more valuable, ready for greater service. We're going to be more ready to be God's people when we go through periods of testing. So I want you to see that 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 talks about the true wealth. The trial of your faith. Lots of pressures in this world. Think about the changes. Those of you that are a little older, think about the changes that you've seen in our religious world. Think about the changes you've seen in some of our brotherhood as we look at what is being taught, what is being practiced with regard to worship. And there's a lot of pressure on faith. We have preachers in the churches of Christ today that will be preaching nothing about baptism for remission of sins. They will be preaching nothing about the coming judgment. They will be preaching nothing that is negative in the way that sin brings negativity spiritually into our lives, because they want to be positive and they want to present a positive message. when we start thinking about the testing of our faith, it's all around us. And then when the trials of life come to me, I can handle your trials because I don't feel your pain in the same way that you do. But when it comes to my trials and my pressures and my illnesses and my job loss and my lack of money, my problems, I now have a hard time going through that period of testing, and I really have a hard time believing that God knows what he's talking about when he says those periods of trial are more precious than silver or gold. They are good for us. They are meaningful to us. The precious blood of Christ. Listen to the way Peter uses this concept of precious. Your trials and your faith in trial, more precious than silver and gold. In chapter 1 and verse 19, Peter says the precious blood of Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 4, he said a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. In chapter 2 and verse 16, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And then in chapter 2, in that passage in verses 1 through 4, you're going to read this phrase, he has granted unto us great and precious promises. God promises us that if we withstand the fire of testing, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, God says we are going to receive the great and precious promises that he has. So the true wealth is to be found as we look at this term 40, and it's a sign of testing and judgment in the Bible. When we look at our periods of testing and judgment, we possess true wealth, God says. But the testing of the wealth is pretty hard. Pretty hard. I think how blessed I am to get to teach the book of Genesis on a regular basis. And I read about God thinking so seriously about having created a people whose every thought and intent of their heart was only evil continually. And he started thinking in the way that we think, why in the world did I create these people? Look at their lives. Look at the way that they are living so that their thoughts and intents are only evil continually. Wow. God decided he would destroy the world. And so it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine Noah, whom the New Testament teaches us, was a preacher of righteousness, preaching to a people whose thoughts and intents of their heart were only evil continually, and he's teaching them about things they'd never seen before, they'd never heard of before, and they are to believe that because here, beginning with the rain, they're beginning to see maybe this is a possibility. And when that door to the ark is shut, they may begin to believe that Noah had something to teach them about the judgment of God that's going to bring rain 40 days and 40 nights. How hard would that be? I think about the book of Jonah. Jonah is so sure that God's great and precious promise of forgiveness was going to be given to the city of Nineveh. If they repented, he ran the other way. He said, I knew what would happen if I preached your message. And so he runs away and God calls him back as we read that great story of Jonah, the great fish. Jonah was told to tell the people of Nineveh in 40 days, this great city is going to be destroyed. Here are 40 days that they had a chance to hear and know God's truth, that they needed to repent and turn away from their sins or judgment is coming and the city is going to be destroyed. Those people listened. They believed. They trusted. They used that 40 days of testing, knowing and hearing about the judgment of God in a super positive way. And God relented and did not destroy the city. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be at the baptism of Jesus? When John the Baptist immersed the Savior of the world. John understood, it seems to me, what baptism was all about. John had preached a baptism unto repentance for the remission of sins. Jesus comes and said, I want to be baptized. John said, wait a minute, I have need to be baptized of you. John understood the purpose of baptism, but Jesus said, permit it to be so. This is the will of God. When John baptized Jesus, he came up out of the water, and here is a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God is pleased with him. He is pleased that he became poor so that you and I could become rich. He's pleased that Jesus gave his everything in order to be a Savior for us. And then immediately Satan comes. And for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. You have any temptations in front of you? Have you fallen to temptations? You and I will never be tempted in any greater way than Jesus was by the devil in those 40 days and immediately following. As we think about this 40 days, an unbelievable amount of pressure on Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the form of a servant. He thought and felt much like I do. He was tempted in every way, just like I am. And yet, when I sin time after time after time, Jesus was without sin. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, him who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus withstood that 40 days of temptation in the wilderness and all the temptation that came following that, all the way to dying on the cross. I just don't understand in some ways how the Lord could have stayed on the cross with people walking by, people for whom he was dying, spitting on him, mocking him, saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He can save other people, but he can't save himself. Oh, me. I think about how tempted I would have been to destroy at least those people, but not the Lord, because he knew where he was going. And he withstood, and he died on the cross that day. He was buried, and he was raised. And then, as we saw in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, for 40 days after his crucifixion, he was with his people until he ascended into heaven. Today, if you're suffering, you have true wealth in your hand. But that true wealth brings great testing that people in the Bible withstood over and over and over again. And you and I can withstand that. So what if you withstand the trial? What does that mean? What would be the result? Listen to this. Oh, this is so hard to accept when we're under pressure and in trouble in our lives with sin, in trouble in our lives with disease, in trouble in our lives with relationship issues and family issues. This is so hard to believe. James says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you, and James is talking to you and me, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How are you going to get to that state of perfection and completeness that all of us desire? It is only through those days of testing and trial and recognition of judgment. Well, how do you do that? The Hebrew writer in chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us essentially why those people are listed in what we call the Hall of Fame. that great list of people who lived by faith. How in this world did they do that? The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 and verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, listen to this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Can you imagine? We do not have a clue. We've watched some movies about Jesus and about the scourgings and the crucifixions. We can't imagine what it would be like to get ready to walk into the city of Rome and the streets. Can you imagine Highway 100 from Chickasaw to Henderson lined with crosses and people nailed to those crosses dying and bleeding and hurting? Can you imagine that? That's what those people saw. Jesus saw the same thing. And this passage says, who for the joy that was set before him. Was the joy found in the cross, in the beating, in the suffering, in the death? No. The joy was in the accomplishment of the salvation of you and me. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, 40 is a special number. It calls to mind some great making music programs, but I'm hoping as you go back and you look and read those periods of 40 days of testing and judgment that the Bible talks about so much with this special number, it will make you think about passages like Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he permitted or suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. This morning, we have a fantastic audience. I cannot tell you what a privilege it is to worship with you this morning. But if there's one person in this room who is accountable before God, who has studied God's word and knows that you need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, if there's one of you, the Lord is pleading with you now. Do that. Be obedient. The Son of God learned obedience. Are you suffering and you're letting that stand in your way? Are you tempted and is sin multiplying in your life and you're letting that stand in your way? Turn away from that. We have great and exceeding precious promises of forgiveness and grace and mercy and compassion and God's judgment to be well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. If there's a way that we could help you, if you want to come home to the Lord, if you want to be baptized into Christ, let us help you. This invitation is for real. If you have a need and you want to respond publicly, please do. Let's stand and let's sing.